Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we got lots and lots and lots going on. And of course, Tommy is standing over there. We'll talk about that. They look weird and a little freaky. We have to have a discussion about that because I don't understand. What's up, man?
Not much, dude. How you doing?
I'm good. Lots going on. We got big things happening. I'm in pretty good shape. What's up with you? What's on the show this week?
We've got Nintendo, because Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct kind of out of nowhere. Really expecting it this week. We were expecting one next week, which is still happening. We'll get the one next week. But they announced a Nintendo Direct that was just focused on Switch games and nothing about the Switch 2, which next week we get Switch 2. And so anyway, all that said, we're going to get to talk about Nintendo this week, and we'll get to talk about Nintendo on the next show, because we'll get all the Switch 2 stuff for the next show. But this one isn't Switch 2. This one is software. Was it super newsy, but Metroid showed up, and so we'll definitely talk about that. This virtual game card idea, we'll talk about that. A couple other things from that.
There's a lot of weird stuff in there. I watched it right before we started. A lot of weird stuff in there.
Not really our thing necessarily, but you know, whatever. We'll see. And so there's that. And then news about a potential new Xbox mobile device, but not for Microsoft, which is fascinating to me. And so we'll talk about that a little bit too, as long as we have time. We'll see what we get through, of course, right, as always. And we got to talk about games, and we've been off for a little while, and so catching up and all that good stuff, you know.
Yeah. we're getting to the good part on the Rebirth. Mm-hmm. I thought I was all nice and caught up with you this morning, and I just continued a video that I was watching last night before I went out. I'm like, cool, I'm gonna catch up, and of course I got through that and saw that you put up another hour last night, so
I wasn't
slightly behind.
Too much you missed in that, yeah, except for having to play as Kate Sith, which is not my favorite of all the characters in the game. I've spent the least time with Kate Sith, because I just, not my favorite character.
Talk about something that's weird.
Yes.
That's weirdness.
Like, I love Red 13. Red 13 also very weird, but Kate Sith just isn't. So anyway, now I'm having to play as Kate Sith. I'm like, okay.
We'll okay, so here's my thing with Red 13, and we'll get off this because we spend entirely too much time talking about Rebirth. But They're in town, and I got to the point where he got to the terminal, and he's like, cool, we need to meet up, whatever. And they're telling Red that he's got to stay behind and then follow with his nose or whatever. And he did the old man voice, and I'm like, okay, it's weird. It's like, when is he a kid and when is he an old man? And that's just one of those continuity things that it's a little weird, but in its defense, the entire game is weird, and I love it. I think you just went past the point of no return because they said, are you sure there's nothing else you have to do before we go do this? So I think we're getting there, but I said that 20 hours ago.
Yeah, so. I have no clue at this point how to gauge when this game is going to be over, but it does feel like we're getting close to the end. And as much as I really do love this game, we've talked about it for a year, like literally, because we've been playing it for over a year at this point. Like, it's time to be done with this game. We got to move on and play something else. And so I am excited to finish it. It'll be good to finish a game. So
it's great. I finished something this week.
Yeah. I want to hear about that.
So surprised. Okay. So I have a guy in my house that works with me on the weekends. He goes by Sneaky on every gaming platform that there is. And he's a big Diablo guy. And he got me back into playing Diablo 4. So I finished the main story. And I am in the process of building out Paragon boards and all of that stuff. I got the DLC as well. I haven't gotten around to that because every time he leaves, I'm like, okay, I'm going to play this week and get through some more of the DLC story or do some side quest stuff or whatever. Yeah, that doesn't happen. but I did finish the main story. And I have been doing some of the higher level stuff, and I'm actually playing on Torment 2, if you can believe that or not.
Look at you.
Here's something that will make you laugh. My barbarian that I built for this seasonal content doesn't even have to swing a weapon. All he does is walk. And things just die as I walk, and it's freaking amazing.
That is freaking amazing.
I want to get you on there and run you through the story with this barbarian because it's freaking amazing, and it's a whole lot of fun. I'm glad to finally be done with Diablo 4. It's only taken about 3 years. That's horrible. But I did finish it, and I will finish the expansion. So
yeah, that's amazing. That's very cool. I'm proud of you, and I love that. And would love to get back to Diablo. It's on my very, very long list of things to get back to and to play because there's so much stuff that we've started and need to finish, and then there's of course, all the stuff we're just behind on because life is difficult playing games and keeping up and everything else. And there's just way too much stuff. I do have one other thing I have put a little bit of time into too, though, that I do want to mention. I almost forgot about it, so I'm glad I thought about it. Thanks to Sam for mentioning this because it clicked in my brain that I should check it out. The enhanced edition of GTA 5. I just decided to pick it up because I was like, I haven't played GTA in so long, and GTA 6 is still, who knows when we're ever going to get that. And so I was like, why not? Let me get it on the PC, have some fun with it there where I haven't really played it. I will just really briefly. The last thing I remember pirating is Grand Theft Auto 5 many, many years ago on PC, just because I wanted to play around with some mods and see how it worked. So I own it on PlayStation 3, honestly, and then PlayStation 4, I have it on there. So I didn't feel terrible about pirating it on PC just to goof around with some mods. But I thought, okay, I should legit buy this time. And so I did. Legitimately bought it on Steam, going through Rockstar, login, all that. Such a
pain. I hate that crap.
I do too. And it's like, we used to pirate everything. But anyway.
Because Max Payne 3 has that Rockstar social club crap. And that's part of the reason I don't reinstall Max because I can't remember the password for the Rockstar social club. It's horrible.
It's horrible. Anyway, that aside, it has been a really reinvigorating experience to get back into Grand Theft Auto because, again, just love that world and everything around it. And the only thing I've done, I've spent 2 or 3 hours in it, has been on GTA Online. I haven't even fired up the campaign. Ooh, I just fired up GTA Online.
Okay.
And it's like way different than it used to be. And I'm actually into it.
I'm so happy to hear that because I'm going to make an awful request. Is there any way that we can set up streaming for that? Because if you're going to play GTA 5, I need to see that.
Yeah.
I need to, and especially if you're going to play through the story, we might as well just do it, yeah. Right? So, is there a way that we can set that? Can we make that happen?
I'm sure we can.
Because I need to see GTA 5.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm able enough to realistically play it, but I need to see it.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, definitely. And it is, it's still a game that came out 10 years ago.
Right. You
know? And so, like, there are still things about it, but the Enhanced Edition does do a good job of adding in some really, you know, pretty cosmetic things. And so the cars look really phenomenal, and like you get ray tracing, and it's not like, you know, cyberpunk level or anything like that, but it is pretty. And yeah, they do some really good stuff with it. And again, it just scratches an itch because it's GTA and we haven't had new GTA. And even though something like Cyberpunk does that too, like, it's not Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto just has a completely different feel to it. And so,
right.
So that's been fun. And the fact that the online, like, again, I played GTA Online many, many years ago when it was pretty new. And, you know, like any online thing, I kind of went, okay, cool, I'm glad I did that, but I don't care. But then I fired it up again, and there's like a lot of like, it's very campaign-ish.
It's probably, I think of it similar as like a World of Warcraft type of thing.
Yeah.
That it's just live and always running and quests everywhere and stuff going on. And like, it sounds like a lot of fun.
It's not MMO-ish in that right way. I run into player characters sometimes, but a lot of times I don't even see another, you know, player character in the game. And most of the time, if I do, they just like blow me up with a rocket launcher because that's obnoxious. Yeah. And still kind of, there was a mission where like you have to go fly a blimp and like play music and to like promote a club. And I'm like, fly the blimp. I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then like some random dude just like rocket launcher blows me out of the sky and I fail the mission. I'm like, come on. Like, that sucks. You know? So there's still that right kind of online stuff that I'm like,
that right there,
this is why I don't
want to play it. Can we,
exactly.
Can we make that PvE? Because I might actually fire it up.
Yes.
If we can make it PvE.
Right. I don't know if there is any way to do, like, to really strictly do that, because it kind of goes against, I think, what the kind of principle of what they want GTA.
Right. It's Grand Theft Auto, so it's supposed to be chaos.
Yes.
Right.
But all that said, it's still really fun. I'm really surprised by the fact that I've enjoyed the online stuff and it's kind of captured me at least a little bit. And again, just driving around in the world and experiencing that stuff. And it's fun. So it was $20 when I bought it. It was on sale. I don't know what it is right now, but if it's still on sale, like, it's definitely worth $20. Even if you bought it like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, like I did, it's great.
I have a copy of GTA 5 on Epic. And I keep telling myself that I'm going to get around to it because I didn't pay for it, and it's Grand Theft Auto. Like, I need to play, but I would spend $20 on that if it's still on sale. So I'm gonna go look,
yeah,
and see if I can pick that up. I don't think I am capable of playing it at this point, but
there's nothing like try. You know, like just see if you got around right Cyberpunk. There's, I don't know what kind of mods there are out there for it, and so.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, no harm in trying. And again, if you
absolutely
$20, like, whatever,
absolutely. So I really am. I'm so excited that you're doing this. I was wondering what the next thing was gonna be, and there's other stuff that we need to play other than sure GTA 5. But like that's a nice, like, okay, we've played a few hours of whatever the new thing is. Now let's go back to the GTA 5 and get a couple. It's a nice palate cleanser is what it
yes
is.
Yes.
It's something that we both love. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah. So thanks to Sam for even just bringing, because I wouldn't have had like any real even clue that it was out there. I mean, I'd heard, you know, it was happening, but didn't really care. But Sam posted something on the Facebook about how he was enjoying it and that looked really good. I was like, why not? And so it was great. And by the way, mentioning Sam is on the Discord now, yes, which we've been bothering him about.
I'm going to bring that up. I'm so happy.
Yes.
He showed up and he called us losers. I'm so happy that he's here. I am. The guys are slowly coming over.
Yes.
And the community's getting bigger and there's always somebody talking about something. I'm so happy. Yeah. You have no idea how happy that made me when you showed up. So if you are still hanging out on the Facebook page, I will tell you that we still check the Facebook page because both you and I did this week. There's comments from us on the Facebook page. So we are still looking at that. We are still checking that out. But if you are on our Facebook page and you want to go where all of the cool people are hanging out, it's on the Discord. And I need to YouTube how to make a link permanent and fix the link that is on the Facebook page because everybody needs to be over there.
Yes. And if you want to get over there and don't want to find the Facebook page link, the link on the website is a permanent link.
Yes.
So go by gaminguncensored.com and click the Discord link that's over there. While you're there, you can also see the Patreon supporters. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. As always, thank you guys for your support. If you want to support us at Patreon, go by gaminguncensored.com. Also, over on that right-hand side, there's the Become a Patron button. Support us over there. Thank you guys, because you paid for Grand Theft Auto Enhanced Edition for me, and we'll pay for it for Jamie.
Yeah.
We appreciate that, and you pay for a bunch of other stuff for us to be able to keep this show going. And so thank you guys a ton. We really, really do appreciate it. Assuming that this video gets live, because the last one or two haven't actually made it on Patreon. I don't think I need to go back and check it. Been busy stuff. I apologize for that. But hopefully this one will. You will see the different look on my end. So I'll mention that.
Yeah.
Because I know Jamie wants to talk about that. That I'm standing for the show today, which is strange. But I got a standing desk because I'm old and I sit all the time for work and I'm like feeling that and just achy for ridiculous reasons at this point, mostly because I'm old, but thought, hey, you know, a standing desk, maybe that'll help a little bit. And so I listened to way too many podcasts with way too many advertisements about standing desks, and it's, you know, whatever, let's try it and see. And so here I am trying it and seeing it, not 100% convinced that like this is going to be my new lifestyle, but it's fine, and it is like more invigorating to be standing while I teach, because I also teach a lot from home and always say ask for that. So standing for that, but doing this show and other stuff. And so we'll see. But it is a weird little difference going on over here.
Two things on that. First, I kind of wonder if you did it just to give me a middle finger because what order for me to stand? And I might be slightly offended.
Right.
I'm wondering if you told me just a little bit. Also, we're both doing various old man things to feel better. We don't talk about it a lot, but both of us every single day drink an absurd amount of water.
Yes.
Like just a ridiculous amount of water. And we do various other things every day because we don't want to feel bad. And so for me, this is just another step in that direction, trying to deal with some of that over 40 stuff that happens, and it's awful.
Yep.
So I'm all in for this. I think this is really cool.
Yeah, we'll see. I have gotten, you know, obviously drinking a lot of water. If you're watching again, you'll see me drinking water all throughout the show as well. But I've gotten, you know, more intentional about exercise and that kind of stuff. Because, man, being 40 is just hard. It is a thing. And so here we are trying something new. And so if you see me sitting on the next show, you'll know, oh, okay, that didn't work out so well.
This will make, I don't know how this ended up on this show, but here we go. You were talking about exercise, and I've talked before about being in the standing frame. Well, the last couple of weeks, I've been doing the opposite. I've been getting down in the floor, and crawling and doing like planking and doing various things. And because I'm old, and because of like I'm trying to like work those muscles and do various things. And I got to tell you, it's awful. Like I had this thing, like I was on the mat yesterday and they wanted me to use my arms and elbows to hold myself up and to hold my head up. And what I learned from holding my head up for like a minute and a half, three separate times while I'm laying on the floor on my elbows, is I have a really big head and it weighs entirely too much. Okay, that's how you know you're getting old, when you walk around going, crap, this is really heavy. So yeah, we're both doing stuff that is really bad, but we're just trying to feel better.
Yes. So. And it's always for me, it's like, is this actually making me feel better, like overall? Because it feels terrible in the moment. Like, yes. Yeah, and it's just, this is kind of weird. But do you stop doing it? You're like, oh, yeah, I feel worse now. But then you do it again, and you're like, well, that feels bad too. But I feel a little bit better after we're not. I don't know if it's worth it or not. Bigger we are.
Yeah, I mean,
the like, joys of getting old.
Like, I'm in the floor, like, in the floor. I'm not, like, I had to use. Somebody had to literally like pick me up with a lift to get me out of the floor. And so I go all the way down there and I'm like, every time I go down there and get on the mat, and like I'm wearing knee pads and various things because I'm old.
Right.
And I'm like, every time I do that, I'm like, why am I doing this? This is ridiculous. I'm too old for this crap. And none of us really have a reason. We just are, because we'll do whatever it takes to feel better and not take about 18,000 pills. So there's that.
Here we are trying to make it. We'll see what happens. So,
yeah.
All that said, should we talk about some news?
We should, because that was weird. I have no idea what that was.
I don't know. It's, you know, Gaming Uncensored, we haven't been here for 3 weeks, so you get what you get.
Right.
So it's a good time. As we mentioned, Nintendo did a Nintendo Direct yesterday, I believe. No time anymore. Wherever you're listening to this podcast a couple days ago. Again, specifically focused on current Switch stuff. Not talking at all about the Switch 2. Most of it, very Nintendo stuff. None of it really big new announcements. But, you know, like we saw a couple of cool things. So I'll mention a couple of them. We'll spend
Shadow
a little bit more
Labyrinth
time.
One. We got to talk about the Eternal Life of Gordo, something like that. I want to talk about that one too.
Yeah.
There's some really good stuff in there.
Yeah. And it's the. It's the problem of like, if I had more time, these would be that next tier down of stuff I need to get to, but just don't have time to get to this stuff, right. Which drives me crazy. Cause like, Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD remake looks freaking cool, but I don't have like a nostalgic pull to Dragon Quest. Like I never really got into the series. And so like, if I had the time to put into it, I think I would love it. Cause it just is very nostalgic overall to the games we grew up playing. But it's not nostalgic specifically to the series. I don't have any like connection to the series per se. And I'm like, I just can't spend time with that, even though it would be super cool. If you're a Dragon Quest person, I would imagine this looks very appealing. Yep. Maybe not, but to me, it looks very appealing as somebody who's not a part of that world. And so that looks cool. But Shadow Labyrinth, maybe outside of Metroid, is the thing out of this I'm looking forward to the most, which is weird to say.
Yeah.
Pac-Man game nominally.
It's bizarre.
Like, it's so bizarre.
It never really clicked with me, like, because we saw it a few months back. We saw it at E3. For some reason, this morning when I was watching it before the show, because also like old men were up early, like I was up at 7 a.m. Getting ready for the show. And I'm watching the Nintendo Direct, and I'm like, holy crap, that's Pac-Man. Like, it was never, like, I saw it before, and it didn't click in my brain how it's very obviously Pac-Man.
Yeah.
But it's a dark and creepy, like, Pac-Man. And I'm for some reason, I'm way into that.
Like, I am too, and I don't
it's cool.
Quite understand why, because even when I was watching it during the direct, I'm like, this just doesn't make sense. This just is nonsensical. And right. Yeah, like, I really want to play.
That's supposed to be happy.
Right.
Like, and this dude is very obviously not happy.
Yeah, like, it's like super dark and weird and twisted and like, but then it's like, womp, 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 womp. Like, I'm like, where's Clyde? Like, what's going on here? I don't get it even in the slightest. And yeah, I am really excited to play it because not only, you know, like the Pac-Man thing, whatever. I'm not super nostalgic for Pac-Man in particular. Pac-Man's fine. You know, I'll play Pac-Man, you know, when it's in front of me. But it's also very Metroidvania-ish. And you know how I love a Metroidvania. Yeah. And it looks like it's hopefully going to be a good Metroidvania. And so then I'm into it.
Let me put it to you this way. If we can manage to pick it up, that will be one that you have to stream. Because,
yeah.
Because I gotta see that.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. The Eternal Life of Goldman.
Goldman, right.
Yeah.
Couldn't remember the name.
Hand-drawn kind of art style platformer. Again, a lot of this stuff, like nothing was hyper-realistic. It's all very Nintendo kind of-ish stuff. But also did look really interesting. Like, again, just cool. Like, again, something you would expect from Nintendo.
Yes.
Nintendo does this weird stuff, and so... any other thoughts on Eternal Life of Golden?
It just looks cool.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. There was a few things in the direct that just looked cool, and this was one of them. I do, when we wrap, before we get off this, I want to talk about something else that felt really weird. But on that, it just looks really cool.
Yeah. It has such a classic, like... the cartoons that we grew up with style to it. And,
right.
And it's like, it feels like something we would have watched on TV, you know,
yep.
Artistically. I don't know anything else about it really. Again, other than it's just platformery and that again, also maybe Metroidvania ish. I didn't quite get that as much from this, but it has a little bit of that vibe. But very cool. Almost reminds me of Cuphead in some ways.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's going to be that level of difficulty. Which I hope not. I loved
Cuphead. I hope not.
It was fantastic, but I don't want it to be that level of difficulty. But because it's hand-drawn and because it's a platformer, a different hand-drawing style than Cuphead is, but hand-drawn, like, still pretty cool. And so we'll see, but definitely an interesting one that I wasn't aware of. I mean, we might have seen it somewhere else before and I didn't remember it, but I certainly didn't remember it. And so that looks cool. There was also the Marvel beat 'em up. I'm trying to remember what it was.
That looks really cool. Like, because it's old school. Like,
yeah.
Avengers. Like, I saw that and I immediately thought back to the Avengers arcade cabinet.
Yes.
That we went to the Tilt and spent many an hour on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has that vibe to it. It's the side scroller beat 'em up, classic arcade kind of style beat 'em up. Think for recent kind of comparison, the Ninja Turtles
yes.
What was it even called? Shredder's Revenge.
Shredder, yeah.
Yeah, that just came. Like it has that vibe but for, you know, Marvel universe stuff and you get, you know, all the Marvel characters, the X-Men, all that stuff. Like, which is, you know, what's not to love about that. So, should be fun. It's one that I probably can convince Genevieve to play and we'll have a good time with it. And whenever you and I get together in the same room, we'll at least have to fire it up because
yeah,
you know, those are the kind of things. Again, that's nostalgia that hits us because we're into both the vibe and the world. So yeah,
it right.
Makes all the sense. So, and again, several other games in there I won't mention right now, but go watch the direct if you like Nintendo stuff. You're gonna definitely find stuff you like and stuff you don't care about because there was a bunch. There was a ton of software in it.
Okay, so do you want to talk about the weird stuff first, or do you want to talk about Metroid first?
Let's talk about Metroid really quick.
Okay, so Metroid, I'm really excited about Metroid because they got all, I never really noticed this before, but they got BioShock with it. Like, she has these powers, and she's, like, psychic, and I'm like, I'm watching the trailer, and I'm like, it's BioShock, and that's awesome.
I had a different reaction to it than that. I didn't love the, like, psychic ability.
Really?
Thing. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
It actually got, so I like that we have kind of different perspectives on it. It just didn't feel very Metroid-y to me. Like,
it
the like suit and the abilities has always been like technological more than like psychic, you know, right. Like just this kind of like psychic over thing. Like there's always been like these interesting connections with Samus and like the guardians of the planets or whatever it is, you know, like she always has this weird connection to everything wherever she goes, and the Metroid have this own kind of almost spiritual nature to them,
right?
But this is just so directly like very BioShock is you're right yeah. about that. I'm glad you made that comparison. I just don't know that that feels Metroid. There are many things that are Metroid that also overlap with BioShock, and so maybe it'll work really well, but I just, that was what I was like, oh, I gotta play this. I'm obviously gonna yeah. play it, but I gotta get this in my hands to see if like that actually feels like something that's Metroid-ish, or if it's like, oh, that's a weird left turn that I
right. need and to play. I think the reason it's a weird left turn, I'm glad that you said that. I think it's the reason it's a weird left turn is near the end of the trailer, they make it very clear that she is going to get a new suit, which yes. essentially looks like Dark Spider-Man suit. I mean, like, yeah. like it looks like she like merged with Venom or something.
Yeah,
it's a really, really cool look.
Yes,
and I think the reason why this game may be a weird left turn is because it feels like they're trying to launch something new with the series. They're trying to I don't even want to say refresh. It feels like they're trying to figure out how to go a different direction.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that unless it's awful. If it's right, awful,
that's the thing.
Yeah. If and it's they don't- awful, then I'm gonna throw a fit.
Yeah, they don't miss often with Metroid, but there have been misses. Other M was weird, and they tried to do something with it and just didn't quite land well. They came back and did Metroid Dread, and it was phenomenal. Metroid yeah. Dread is amazing. Metroid Prime, the original game, is so good and was so revolutionary. And then 2 and 3 were kind of okay-ish, you know, but not as good as that one. And so this one really felt like a callback to that original game, and I really wanted them to be like just really leaning into what that original game did. So I'm a little bit nervous about them bringing the psychic ability stuff, but you got to do something different. I get that. And so I'm right. not knocking them for doing something different. You can't just, you just put out an HD remake of Metroid Prime, the original. So you can't just do that again. I just don't know. I'm more tepid about Metroid Prime 4 now than I was, you know, 48 hours ago.
Like you, it just you was got, like, oh. You got that old man thing happening that happens to us where you're like, oh, they're messing with my crap.
Yes.
I don't like when people are messing with my crap.
Yes.
Like, that's what it is.
It is 100%. That's yeah. absolutely fair. And again, I imagine it's probably going to be pretty good because Metroid Prime is good. Like it's, yeah. it's it feels like it would be hard to mess that up. So, but yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I'll hope that they deliver a good game there. So, weird stuff. What weird stuff do you want to get into now?
So weird. A lot of weird stuff, and we'll get to the virtual game cards right after this because that's kind of a big deal. And there's a huge discussion point that I brought up on the Discord. Which we're going to get to. Is it just me, or was there a lot of like occult stuff in like the first like 15 minutes of this thing? Like just weird. Like there's like a, we've seen the witch university game. We've seen that before, and there was a few other things. Shadow Labyrinth. A Shadow Labyrinth in there, and there's a Japanese only game where you like team up with demons, and like it like I understand that it's a game. Like I'm not going all weird here because when somebody who I go to church with asks me about a video game and why do I play it or why am I okay with it, my answer is always, it's a computer program. You change one comma and it's totally, completely different. It's not there's nothing real to it.
Right.
But all of that being said, the first 15 minutes had a really dark vibe to it. And I don't know about you, but for me, it was just sort of uncomfortable coming from Nintendo. Maybe I'm off today. Maybe I, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I've got something going on, but it just felt a little weird.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't pick up that vibe. I could kind of see it in retrospect, but that wasn't what I was noticing during the time. I did just related, but not the same tonally, is that they had a little like promo in there that High on Life is coming to the Switch.
Yeah.
I'm like, that doesn't fit.
right.
That's a very non-Nintendo game of everything, especially for so much of it feeling pretty Nintendo. Like that one stood out to me for a different reason, but like kind of in the same vein. But yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, and like my guy Sneaky that's in the other room was telling me that he's been playing High on Life on the PlayStation, and it's pretty good, but it's definitely an adult game.
Right.
Right. And we talked about on the last show that everybody, all of the console makers kind of have their thing, and they're each one of them does a specific thing well.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird when they venture into stuff that they don't normally do. I mean, we talked a couple shows back that now Sony has Astrobot and some other, they're definitely going to do some more family friendly type stuff. And then to see this darkness on a Nintendo console, I don't know. It just, like I said, it's a little weird. And I on Life on the Nintendo console, like, okay, first, High on Life is a sort of kind of a graphically intense guy. Like, I haven't played it, but like, it's not, you know,
yeah,
it's got some graphics to it. And so I'm wondering if you're going to play High on Life, why would you play it on the Switch other than I want to take it on the go? So, yeah, I don't know. Just some weirdness there.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I do think with the Switch 2 imminent, we don't know exactly when it's coming, but coming soon in the next several months. I do think there is a part of Nintendo that's like, okay, we need to make sure we're establishing as broad of a like user base for this. Because for me, I was thinking about this yesterday watching the Nintendo Direct. I haven't played anything on my Switch in quite a while.
Unless you're playing with your daughter. I mean,
like, yeah, and even that, like everything we've played recently hasn't been on the Switch. We've been playing It Takes Two primarily. But we've played some stuff on PlayStation too, but we haven't played, like she asked the other day if we could play Mario Kart. I'm like, yeah, well, when we have some time to play Mario Kart, that'll be great, but we just haven't had time to yet. We just haven't touched the Switch in a while. And there is something to like the games, like I was just saying, that Nintendo showed on the Direct that are coming to Switch are games that I'm like, those look cool and if I had time, but they're not priorities outside of Metroid. Metroid is something I will definitely play, but I'm going to play Metroid on the Switch too, to be real honest with you right now. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I just don't have anything from my like desire as a gamer that's making me go, oh, I need my Switch right now. And I feel like Nintendo probably feels that from more than just me. Like, not that they obviously don't have a massive user base, but like they just have had a lot of games that haven't been appealing to 40-year-old dude, you know, like whatever.
With the family that's trying to get a little escape. And
exactly. And so with the Switch 2, I'm sure they want to kind of reinvigorate that broader base. And so having some stuff like High on Life going, hey, this might interest you if you are, you know, not, you know, 12, may interest you if you're 12 too, but for the most part, not good for 12-year-olds. I get that. And so that may be part of their play here. And I think, again, I'm fascinated to see another direct from them in 5 days because I want to know more about the Switch 2, but I also want to see software. What are they going to be hyping about the Switch 2? We obviously know Mario Kart because they showed us that one, and that gets kind of everybody, very broad based. But what other software are they going to show us? Is it going to be more, you know, stuff like High on Life or whatever? Or is it going to be more like Pikmin and traditional Mario and all that right. kind of stuff? Or is it going to be, I don't know, but I'm really interested to see, because that's a big question with Nintendo right now.
It was just very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Nintendo. Just real quick, because this will take 20 seconds and then we don't have to say anymore. They are launching, what do they call that thing? Nintendo Today?
This Nintendo Today, thing. Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about that. I'm actually going to have to get a Nintendo. Does the show have a Nintendo account?
The show doesn't. Okay. Yeah,
I have a Nintendo account. We need to make one because I don't think I have one.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah. I downloaded it. I mean, it's not much there yet. And they kind of tease that there won't be much until after the Switch to Direct next week. But there is some stuff there, including one like newsy story that they published there first this morning. Like, they broke news on their new platform this morning, which I'll mention here really quick because it's not really worth spending a whole lot of time talking about, but it is the next story in the show notes if you go by gamingandcensored.com, that the live action Zelda movie, which we have no context of at this point other than it is happening, is going to release March 2027. So 2 years we're gonna have a live action Zelda movie. So
okay.
Something to look forward to. Just posted a little teaser that says live action Zelda coming March 2027, whatever. So there you go. Again, do I love the idea of Nintendo making a live action Zelda? Not particularly. Nah. Did I love the idea of the Mario movie and Chris Pratt of all people being Mario? I did not. Was it really pretty good? It was. Yeah. And so I'm kind of reserving judgment as much as I can. I would much rather them spend their time making Zelda games than Zelda movies. But here we are, and it's happening. Yeah. And so hopefully it won't suck. We got 2 years to find out, so we'll see. But they broke their own news on there, which was good for them using their new platform. So the other bit of non-game news that came out was this idea of the virtual game cards. And so they kind of tease this idea, you know, like, you have a couple of Switches in your household, because a lot of people honestly do. Right. That's a thing. Families have multiple Switches.
They're talking to you.
Right, exactly. And if you have physical copies of games, you could just take it out of one Switch, put it in the other Switch, and you can play it on different Switches. But if you have digital copies of games, that doesn't work. And so they've got this new idea that they're calling virtual game cards that you can quote unquote eject and quote unquote insert the game from one Switch into another Switch. It's just a game sharing thing. But the idea being that you have the game installed on both devices. We'll get back into that here in just a second. And you sync the devices. Initially, they have to be physically on the same network. And so theoretically in the same space, I'm sure there's ways you could work around that. But, you know, for what Nintendo's trying to do here, those two Switches physically near each other that they can sync together. So to say it is okay to share games from this Switch to this Switch, even if they're on separate Nintendo accounts, but to have them sync together in that way. And then after that, you could eject the game from one Switch and then it makes it available to play on the other Switch, and then obviously vice versa. You can kind of go back and forth. And so you only have access to the game on one Switch at a time, but you can share it between up to two different Switches, I think was what they said. And so it's a, you know, a good idea for a console like this that has that. Obviously everything's going digital distribution. I have a handful of physical Switch games, but almost everything that I've bought on the Switch in the past 3-4 years has been digital. Every game I've bought for the past several years has been digital. And so I only have one Switch, so it doesn't really matter at this point. But Switch 2 come along in a couple of months,
and this is very appealing. Your Switch,
yes,
like you're,
and so
we're gonna buy a Switch 2 for the show, and then Genevieve gets the original Switch.
Exactly, yes, yeah. And everybody wins, and we can share games back and forth, and all that good stuff. And so, it seems like a good idea. But I do know you have a legitimate concern. It's fair.
And you tell me, because you're the one that's buying games digitally and using them on the Switch, and we're going to not really know anything until after like the 20 after April 2nd. But I'm concerned about space. Space is a problem everywhere. Like I found out this week that my dad of all people, has a OneDrive account. And he calls me and he goes, I can't get my OneDrive account to sync. And I'm like, what? Like, I lost my mind. He's got more cloud space than I've got. I'm like, what did you pay for? And he's like, I've got a terabyte, but it's not working. I'm like, whoa! Like, this is absurd. So like, space is a premium everywhere. Yep. And so I just, my concern here is, how do we make room for that? Like, it's a good concept, but it ain't like the Switch has got, you know, 3 terabytes of storage. I mean. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, because I think it's meant for this, and then we'll see the Switch 2, how that changes things. But I imagine it'll be pretty similar on the Switch 2. But the Switch, like, I have a you know, original Switch. So, I mean, we got it when it first launched, and that's the little Switch I use, which is incredible that it's 8 years later at this point. The thing still is beat up for sure because it's a portable device as well, but it still works fine. Battery life sucks on it, though. So you don't play it handheld very much. Anyway, that said, still works and has, like, what is it? I don't even know what built-in storage it has. Not a lot.
Not a lot. No
megs, something like, I don't remember what it is. A gig's not megs, but whatever it is, it doesn't have a lot. And that's fine because you just swap out micro SD cards. And so I have multiple micro SD cards for my Switch that have different games installed on them, and it just, you pop them in and out.
Oh, okay.
Crazy. Yeah. And so you get how much storage you want on it. You make sure you get a fast enough SD card. But at this point, they're cheap. They're fast. Like, the games on Switch are small and don't require, you know, super high speed transfer in order to run properly. And so for the current Switch, like, you just go buy another SD card and you just install them on another SD card and you just keep those. Or, you know, you like buy a bigger one and transfer them over because you can transfer to internal storage and off and whatever. I've had to do data management on the Switch as you do with every console at this point. And it's a pain. It's a hassle, but it's not unbearable. And the fact that it is just as easy as popping out an SD card and popping it back in, you're not dealing with, like, replacing an internal drive or anything like that. It really is a very easy solution compared to other consoles. And so, current Switch, not a big issue. Switch 2, I don't know if all that's going to stay exactly the same, what the, like, speed requirements for transfer speeds on cards, and that's going to be for Switch 2 games, because there was a disclaimer on this whole virtual console thing that it will apply to Switch 2 games as well. And so it seems like this will be a feature that we will see with the Switch 2. And you would imagine they're announcing this in part because there's going to be this desire to transfer between Switch and Switch 2. So you would think that would work that way. I don't know. We'll see. The storage on the Switch 2, just, we don't know yet. Like, it's not necessarily not going to work, but it's maybe a little wonky. Sorry, I've got a strobing light over here. I'm going to step over here and take care of that.
All right. Oh, I thought we were about to lose power or something.
I'll just be dark for a little bit.
So. I forgot about your lighting rig. That's cool. Right.
You gotta have lights in this whole setup until one of them starts spazzing out on you. So, whatever. But I think we'll have more answers next week. We don't have to speculate. We've got 5 days until we get more answers about some of this stuff. Hopefully. We'll see how much detail we get on Wednesday or whatever day it is that the Nintendo Direct is about the Switch 2. But I think it's a good idea. I'm sure, like everything else on the Switch, is going to be a little clunky. But it's Nintendo. That's kind of what we expect from them.
That's what they do.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So overall, you know, good to see Nintendo doing stuff, and we'll see more definitely of kind of what the future of Nintendo is. But they're not going to give up on the Switch because a billion of them out there. I mean, not a billion, but, like, it has been as saturated of a console as Nintendo's had. And that's saying something, because Nintendo has consoles that get into everybody's house.
Yep.
So now it's, does the Switch 2 have that same appeal and everything else, which we'll have to see. So
I told you that I went out last night in the guy's house that I went to. This guy is a physical therapist for a living, and I go over there on a monthly basis for dinner or whatever. And I walk in his house last night, and I noticed that plugged into his TV, he has a Super Nintendo, and nice. That's just everybody has Nintendo consoles.
Yeah,
they just do. So yeah, they've been everywhere for a long time.
For sure. Speaking of consoles, a couple of things about Microsoft and future consoles. One is their plans for a handheld, which apparently is a licensing plan of having somebody else build a handheld that's going to be an Xbox licensed handheld as opposed to a first party handheld, which feels very Microsoft at this point. When I saw this originally, I was like, oh yeah, of course, that's what Microsoft does now, is that they are more licensing than in-house. And so there is a device that's being developed that's supposed to launch later this year that will be a Steam Deck-like device, but be Xbox branded and be their kind of answer to that, but is being developed by not Microsoft, at least not directly by Microsoft. And it's fine. There's like other like Steam Deck things out there now. The
I think Asus has one.
Right.
There's various other ones. Here's my question, just real quick. And I know we really don't have time, but why?
Yeah, that's like, kind of
why.
Yeah, the one thing is having a handheld that has Game Pass like natively into it, because I play Game Pass on my Steam Deck. You can do it, and it's not very hard. And so, you go get a Steam Deck, you get Game Pass, whatever. But to have Game Pass natively that you can install, not just have to cloud play stuff, you know, that way, but easily install from Game Pass to the device and have, you know, like the same kind of like Deck verified, but Xbox's version of that for settings and all that kind of stuff. Like, I get if you play a lot of Xbox stuff, it's fine. It feels very similar to the Steam Deck in that, like, you don't buy a Steam for Valve first party stuff. There's a couple of things, but that's not what you're buying a Steam Deck for. Like, you're not going to buy the Xbox Deck or whatever they're going to call this thing for Microsoft first party stuff. You're going to buy it for all the stuff that's on Game Pass. And at that point, does it really make sense? How can they differentiate what they do from what Steam Deck already does or what these other competitors already do that you can more or less get most of the same games on, aside from the fact that, like, oh, I just pay my $20 a month or $25 a month, whatever it is for Xbox Ultimate at this point, and get access to the whole library, and you just have a handheld version of that, which may be a reason, but just not for me.
Yeah. this is one of those things. It's like a Zune. I don't need it this.
Very much is like a Zune, to be like, as a really good comparison. But people bought Zunes, not a ton, and they didn't last very long. But it was a thing. Microsoft tried, and you know, they were like, we're gonna get into this world, and it was like, no, you're not. But they tried. So this feels similar in a lot of ways. We'll see if it goes anywhere. But they're also apparently actively working on their next generation of Xbox consoles in-house. What in the world those look like, who knows, right? Like, that's the are they going to go like big muscle again? Are they going to go mostly cloud-based? We don't know. But obviously the Series X/S generation for Microsoft, I think it's fair to say, has been pretty much a bust, like, console wise. I think Microsoft as a gaming company right now is doing pretty good.
They're doing fine, but it's
because of Game Pass and because of their publishing, right? It's not hardware for them at this point. And so just part of me is like, why are you putting a lot of effort into hardware? Like, I kind of get it, because it is like, still in some ways, like, the staple of your company is that hardware thing. Like, Nintendo has the Switch. Nintendo is a whole different beast, and then Sony has the PlayStation. Like, there is something that's like, we have to give ourselves legitimacy by having a physical box. But everything else they're doing in their business is saying the physical box doesn't matter. Like, the physical box is unimportant to us. And it's just like, why not just embrace that and go, hey, we're done with the physical box. The physical box doesn't matter. We're an advanced company that is thinking outside of the box, right? Like, a bad campaign builds itself for you, like, whatever. Think outside the Xbox and go and whatever. Like, I don't know. It just, I'm really skeptical of them putting out, like,
well,
the Xbox X2.
And every company does this, okay? I mean, you and I have been watching a lot of Apple TV lately.
Yes.
And one thing that you and I both agree on is that Apple TV has phenomenal content.
Yes.
That we can't understand why, but they don't advertise. You don't hear about any of these shows anywhere.
Yeah.
So I feel like every company out there does some sort of move where it's like, this does not make sense. We haven't bought the last two Xboxes.
Nope.
And we're not going to buy whatever the next one is.
No, like, and I don't regret it. And I still play tons of Microsoft games. You know, like I have access to basically everything they put out. And that's, you know, like goes to the point of like, why do you need to keep doing this? Like Sony doesn't work that way. I could play a chunk of their stuff on PC at this point, but all that stuff comes out way later. And it's just, you know, like Microsoft isn't that way at this, but like they have very different approaches. And so I very much still feel a need to have a PlayStation in my house. I don't feel a need to have an Xbox, and I don't feel like I'm missing out.
I mean, for crying out loud, I don't play PlayStation. I still feel like I need a PlayStation in my house. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see what happens with them. I'm sure we'll get more news about that. I would guess over the summer we'll start getting that kind of Sony and Microsoft next gen console stuff start percolating.
Right.
But Nintendo's going to dominate with, you know, Switch 2 stuff. So they may want to wait a while to kind of get into that. We'll see how they approach that. Right. Really quick to wrap up, a couple of host privilege game announcements that I want to mention here. Nobody else is going to care about them, but I know you'll get a chuckle out of both of these. Power Wash Simulator 2 is coming, and I could not be more excited. Just
woo!
I love Power Wash Simulator so much. I'm so glad, because like it's such a random thing, and to see the hype around this, because I just really haven't ever like gone looking for like Power Wash Simulator user forums or anything like that, subreddits, but I saw this announcement and then a ton of hype around this announcement, and I was like, oh, I'm not the only person that really likes this stupid game. There's a whole, and I should know that with just the sheer crazy amount of DLC they put out for this game. But Power Wash Simulator, apparently big massive deal.
I mean, it's not the same, it's not on the same level, but it's kind of like Balatro. Like Balatro,
yes,
continues to get content.
Yeah,
I haven't fired up Balatro in like 2 weeks, and because I've been playing Diablo and various other things. And I really miss it. Like, mm-hmm. I want to like boot it up to see what's there. And so, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's in that vein, very much so. And apparently it's coming to Switch 2, though they kind of said that and then kind of walked it back, and we'll see. But that might be, it'd be great if we saw in the Switch 2 announcement direct, like Power Wash Simulator 2 make an appearance, which would be really fun. And then there's a new, and again, this is going way back, a new Katamari game coming.
Ooh, boy, I saw this.
Yeah.
I saw
to this. Apple Arcade of all places, which I love Apple Arcade. And so, pretty pumped about this. Katamari, just the weirdest, stupidest game too, but one that like I fell in love with 15, 20 years ago when it originally came out on the PlayStation 2.
Yep.
Maybe I don't remember where we started. Put
it to you this way: we were still in your house, and I think we were still on dial-up.
Yes, that's how far back it goes.
That's how far right back goes. Yep,
the beginning of the show. And so, if you haven't ever played Katamari, don't. It's weird and strange. But you know, like if you want to try out something very weird and strange, apparently this one is centered around live streaming.
Right.
So it's like Twitch dude, but like the prince is like Twitch streamer, and I don't remotely even care about that. I just want to like roll stuff up in a giant ball, and for whatever reason, that's very satisfying, much like Power Wash Simulator. Yeah. It's just very weirdly satisfying. So, and then just a couple of last quick announcements. We'll get through most of the show notes, which doesn't happen very often. Indiana Jones coming to PlayStation 5. No big surprise there, but it's April 17th is the official release of Indiana Jones game on PlayStation 5.
I'm going to get back to that at some point here.
Me too.
I've just been sort of on a Diablo bender, and I'm going to do that for another weekend, but I'll get back to Indy at some point.
Yeah, there was a really cool video for this announcement that had Troy Baker and Nolan North, with Nolan North essentially like in, welcoming Troy Baker to the like adventure voice actor world of Sony, as Nathan Drake and Indiana Jones meeting each other in a way, which was... cool, you know, I appreciate that. Like, it's Sony obviously knows what they have with Uncharted, and so like saying like there's a connection with that in Indiana Jones made all the sense in the world. And then it just really good, like feel good news. Game Informer, which we talked about closing down a couple months ago, is back. Got bought out. A new company is putting them back to work. Hired everybody back. And so everybody that was at Game Informer apparently is coming back. The publication's going to boot back up and keep doing good work. And so super cool. I was just really excited about that.
Okay, so we haven't talked about this, and I meant to talk to you about it before the show. But they are gone. Obviously, they're going to go digital. They're going to have a digital subscription. They're also gonna have a magazine available. I saw actually saw this on Discord because Logan was paying attention to things, and he put the announcement on Discord, which, by the way, thank you, Logan, for spending entirely too much of your life on our Discord channel,
for sure.
And Gio as well, those two guys are the reason we have the Discord. I'm really more excited about this than I thought I would be about this Game Informer thing. And I think the show needs an account. I think this is one of those we're gonna have to put some money down and just go over there and see what they're doing, because I think this is a big deal.
Yeah, I do too. Again, supporting journalism in general is a good thing for lots of different reasons. And a publication like this that we've known forever, it makes all the sense in the world. So
yep.
I'm completely on board with that. A couple of releases to mention. MLB The Show, because it's baseball season. Yesterday, which was great.
Which, by the way, happy baseball season.
Yes. We decked out Astros gear yesterday and watched the opening game and had a good time, and the Astros won. So we're off to a good start, leading the division already. So see if they keep that up. MLB The Show 25 has an 83 on Metacritic currently, which... right where you'd probably expect it to be. Assassin's Creed Shadows is out, has an 81 on Metacritic, and so right in the UB sweet spot. That's what they do. But I've heard a lot of people talking about this game, in some ways a lot like Valhalla when it came out, that really, really dig it. And I'm just like, no, I don't have time for Assassin's Creed. But apparently the Japanese setting works really well. I know Sam is playing it, so would love to hear some thoughts there. But I want good Assassin's Creed. We've talked about that a lot. Good Assassin's Creed is a good thing. And so we'll see. There was one other one. I don't remember what. Oh, Adam Fall is out too, which I've seen a lot of people.
I think we got to take a look at Adam Fall.
I do too.
Sam's been talking on Discord about that. And Or was that Sam? I don't think it was. I'll have to look. I don't remember who mentioned Adam Paul. Somebody mentioned it. Whoever mentioned Adam Paul, I apologize. I should have remembered that. But apparently it has some really cool mechanics. I think it was Sam that actually mentioned that. But definitely something we probably need to go check out.
Yeah, it seems like something that kind of be up our alley, survival-based kind of exploration stuff, mystery elements. It looks interesting. And so I've heard good stuff about it. 75 on Metacritic, but the Steam reviews seem more positive. And again, I've heard lots of people saying good stuff about it. So some interesting stuff out there. No massive, huge releases at this point. But we don't need more massive, huge releases right now.
No, we do
catch
not.
Up we are, that we have,
we are so. So buried in stupid.
It is stupid. We're going to get through Final Fantasy, and then we'll go from there.
Absolutely. We are kind of in a hurry because I'm sure kids waking up, but we have a really big announcement to tell you guys. We talked about this a couple of months ago, that we were looking for a different web host, different place to host the show. We didn't find one that we like, so we started our own. And we have a web server with our web goddess Evie. She takes care of everything. And before you freak out, she's going to be doing the work. We're not doing anything because we're not that smart. But Tommy and I now have hosts. I now have room to host this show and whoever else wants to come along. So if you are looking for a web host and want to talk about starting your own website, you don't have a website, Evie will do all of the design for that. That there is obviously a cost because we're trying to supplement this show. But if you're interested in that at all, reach out to us. And we'll see if we can get you hooked up. I'm really excited. I think it's going to open up some stuff for the show and allow us to do some stuff that we can't do right now. So if you would like to know more about that, hit us up, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, on the Discord, on the Facebook, wherever you want to find us to talk about that. We would love to talk to you about some hosting opportunities.
For sure. Yeah, it's super cool. I love it.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, I think it's really awesome. Excited. I've done zero work on this, and so I just appreciate you guys and the work that y'all have done because it's super cool.
The show is not over there yet. We're gonna get this episode out. We're gonna give you guys 4 or 5 days to get it downloaded, and then I'm going to move the website over to the new server, and we'll actually have the ability to be in control, which I'm really excited about.
Yes. Yeah, because we also very much like control.
We're actually control freaks. If yes. You want to be real serious about
where
it.
We can get control, we're gonna take control. So yes. That'll be great. I'm excited about that.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I will say that somebody needs to call the voicemail line because I looked in the email this morning and we've gotten our 30-day warning.
Right.
So please, somebody call the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
Just leave us a message. If it cuts you off, call us back. We will splice them together. We want segments.
Yes. We did good there segments. For a little bit. We had them coming in, and then they dried up again. So, call the voicemail line. Talk to us.
Cabbage, you've been playing Monster Hunter for a month. I know you have thoughts. I know you have them because I know you. Send us a segment, sir. He's probably going to be mad at me because I haven't taken time to. He told me, he was like, please, please, please. Streamed some Monster Hunter and I haven't gotten around to it because Diablo stole my time, which I'm really frustrated about. But if you have anything you want to talk about, that is what the voicemail is for. And now that we have the Discord, I believe you should be able to just drop us an MP3 on the Discord. Obviously, there are size limits and various things, but there are various ways that we can get your segment. So please, 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 if you want to talk about anything, submit a segment and we will play it.
Yes, for sure. Please hit up the voicemail line so Google stops bugging us for at least a little bit.
Yes. just call and yell at us.
Yeah, we don't care. They've just gotten so much more aggressive. They really want these phone numbers back. And so it's like 2 weeks go by without something happening. And they're like, oh, we're going to take this back now. And we're like, no, it's ours.
Well, now that we have our own server, we may have to find a way Google. We may have to find a way to take control of that.
Yep. There you
go.
So, I like that idea.
Yeah. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. And for one more week, this is Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.